And just like to wish everyone a good Sunday morning. It's good to be together again. I know my family, we were away last week just for some camping and relaxation, but it's good to be with you and good to be together again this Sunday. Before we open in a word of prayer, just a few announcements to go through. The first one, just that after our morning service today, we will have our business meeting that was rescheduled from last Sunday to today. So if you're a member, you're able to stay, that would be great. Also, it's that time of year. I just brought up a sample box. If you've probably seen these before, or if you make your own for Operation Christmas Child, just the Ministry of Samaritan's Purse. It's that time of year to start packing shoeboxes for children, boys and girls all over the world for this ministry organization, just to spread God's love at this time of year as we celebrate Jesus' birth. So boxes are in the back, the cardboard that you can fold up. I believe there's a few of the plastic tote style, this color that we had left over, or you can buy anything. You can buy just one of those plastic Rubbermaid type shoebox totes and pack that, and all the information, there's the flyers, the tags, they're also able to be produced online, which is neat because you get tracking information for those as well. If you get your labels online, you'll find out where that box or boxes actually went, which is pretty cool. We did that 1 year, and I think both of ours ended up in Brazil. I remember that, which is pretty neat. We sponsor a little, not little anymore, a young lady. She's 16 now through Compassion, but it went to that country where she lives, so everything was in Brazil. Also, today, let's see, Operation Christmas Child, the business meeting. Also, we're looking to form a small decorating committee, we'll call it, maybe five individuals, just to look at future projects here in the church, to make some design decisions, aesthetic things, looking at potential carpet replacement and so on. So if that's something you feel you have a knack for, you'd be interested in, if you could let Pastor Michael know, we'll take those names and move forward from there. That would be awesome. So if that's a talent or something that you are, again, interested in and would like to make a design recommendation for the church as we move forward, we need just some help with that. And also, just to let everyone know that our teens began meeting last Wednesday over video with Matt Williams and Megan, led that. And who was able to join, if you're here, kids? All right. Yeah, they had a decent, I see you up there. So if you weren't able to, if you can, they'll communicate with you more information as those continue. It'd be great to have everybody join now in that virtual model as we go forward, and hopefully, if things, if restrictions someday become relaxed and we're able to maybe meet in person and do some things, that'd be awesome too. So again, let's open in a word of prayer. It's just good to be together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that we have the privilege to come together. Lord, thank you for each person who's here. Lord, just that we can come and worship you. We can come and worship just you in all of your just power and majesty and in your perfection, that example that you have set for us. Not that we can be perfect here on earth, Lord, but that it's an example that we can chase after every day and learn from and try to become more like Christ. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us today just to take a little step again in that direction, whether that is something we have to deal with in our own attitudes, or something in our hearts that we're struggling with, or maybe a relationship needs to be repaired. Whatever it is, God, I thank you that we're here, that we can be challenged by your word, but we can also lift your praises together and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all the ways that you bless us and the opportunities that you provide for us to serve others, opportunities you provide for us to share the truth about you and your love and your goodness, and just that message of hope that people need all around us. So help us, Lord, as we move forward, that we take the opportunities when they arise. And just bless our time together. Lord, bless the preaching of your word. Thank you for Pastor Michael and his time and study and his devotion to your word and to you. And for just for Pastor and Christy and their girls, just again being with us here at First Baptist Elba. We're just blessed in this past year to have them. And we know, Lord, that you're going to continue to bless this church and this community here in this part of the world as we move forward through the rest of this year and into 2021, if that's your will. And thank you for today again, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a great hymn that we haven't sung together in a few years, but number 517, take your hymnal, Freely, Freely, and we'll stand and sing together. God gave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you
to see everybody. Morning, yay. One person said morning. It's good to be here. It's been a good week as people are wrapping up some vacations and camping. And we got to do that, and the weather's turned a little bit colder and the leaves are falling. So it's just a pretty time. We were out camping last week and asked Alana, we were just walking around, we were doing a nature walk. She likes to do those. And so what is your favorite color of leaf? And she said red. So we went and we found a red color leaf. But as we were walking, I just said, why don't we just close our eyes? Let's stop and just close our eyes. And I said, tell me what you hear. And I said, the wind and the leaves. And so she started listing off all these things. I said, see, these are the things sometimes we miss, right? And we see the colors with our eyes, but sometimes we need to just take a moment. We need to close our eyes and think about the things that God does, even the things that we don't see sometimes too. And I know we start in the quiet time in Joshua chapter 6 today, and sometimes we do. We just need to close our eyes and trust God with whatever he's doing. I know now that kind of seems like a strange thing to do, right? We're tuned to the news to see the next update, and we're worrying about these things. And I love the quiet time yesterday too, though, and so I wanted to read that one, and then I want to tie in Joshua chapter 6 into the message. And this is Psalm 3. So if you read the quiet time yesterday, this is what it said. It's a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. And here's what he says in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept, and I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I am not afraid, I am not to be afraid, of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people. So it's been a joy. I've been reading through the Psalms, and I'm glad we got to just read a portion of the Psalms yesterday in the quiet time. As just a reminder, where does our shield come from? Where does our hope? We'll talk about that today, too, as the world that is going on around us, they're looking for hope, as they always are, but now it seems like we need more. Even now, hope. And so just a wonderful picture to get to see in Psalms what David talked about in a situation that was bad. He was fleeing from his own son, who was trying to take the kingdom, who was trying to take his life. And he said, my shield is the Lord, right? And that's a word we all need right now, especially. So now we're going to go into our prayer time. I hope that this has been a good season for you. Maybe some more normalcy. School has gone back, and we try to figure out how life is going to operate kind of going into the holidays, and there's all the stress and anxiety over travel. But this morning, maybe we just need to give some of those things over to the Lord and say, the Lord is my shield. So let's trust in him. Let's pray together, and then we will enter back into our worship time.
Well, again, it's just a pleasure, a privilege to be back with you again this morning. We're going to sing The Father's House together, and then we're going to, our second song, we're going to ask a question and answer a question with, is he worthy? So let's stand and sing together this morning.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. And my story isn't over, my story's just begun. Failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Yeah, failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my Father does. Your burdens down, ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Arrival's not the end game, the journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over, if the story's just begun. A failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Yeah, failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Burdens down, ooh, here in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Prodigals come home, find home. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Prison doors swing wide, the dead come to life. Love is on the move when the Father's in the room. Miracles take place, the cynical find faith, and love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking, stronghold town is shaking, and love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. And love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Burdens down. Ooh, here in the Father's house, check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Ooh, lay your burdens down. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy?
Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David. shrewd and the lamb who died to ransom the slave from every people and tribe, every nation and tongue. He has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor?
Declaration that you are worthy of all blessing and honor and glory, and you're worthy of that and so much more. And we love you. Thank you again for our time together this morning. Thank you for our time to come as we dig into your word and study and just hear what you have for us today. Just help it, help us be attentive, and let it just make it a blessing to us, and that we can then do something with that truth. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We may be seated. I'm glad we have the worship team here this week. I got to have some fun with Carson last week, if you were here, getting to lead worship, at least. I think that's what happened. So we had a good time, though. But I'm very thankful for those that we have that lead worship and do those things awesomely. So make sure you thank them for that next time you talk to them. So I want to remind you, maybe you're here today and you don't know who I am. My name's Michael. I'm the pastor here. It's been my great privilege and honor to serve over a year now. I'm getting to be the pastor here. And sometimes it still seems strange to say. In fact, when I tell other people, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a pastor. Really? Wow. Okay. And I know age has to do in part with that, but I'm glad I get to be here with you, and then I get to have the privilege of sharing God's word with you this morning. And just as a quick reminder, if you're a visitor with us, make sure you fill out one of the little visitor cards in the front pew rack. If you can't find one, we can get one to you. And then I'd love to visit with you this week about your experience. What a great thing it is, too, to hear little people, right? They were in service with us, and now they're back there in the nursery. It's always a joyous thing to hear the little ones, right, and getting to be a part of our fellowship. That's a sign of a healthy church, too, that we have little people that are doing things as well. And so today, we'll be in our series, Who We Are. It's a series that's just devoted to our church and the identity of our church. Every church has an identity, and it's important to know what that is, who we are, what we believe, why we believe what we believe, and all those things are informed by God's Word. And so today, we're going to be looking at growing the church in invitation. I mean, Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And the phrase I want us to remember is this: you never know until you ask. And that's a good question to ask about a lot of things. You never know until you ask. Sometimes we're afraid of asking questions that pop into our mind. Maybe an opportunity comes up, but we think, oh, no, I shouldn't ask. Well, today we're going to talk about the opportunity of the gospel, the ability to share with someone that doesn't know Jesus. Now, when you hear that, I know a lot of us get very tense, right? We're like, oh, sharing my faith makes me very nervous. Well, it does me too, so we're in good company, okay? And so we're just going to look at a few things, hopefully some practical things that'll help us move in the right direction. And so maybe you've heard this phrase before: preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. This phrase was first said to have come from St. Francis of Assisi. And he's got a funny name. He's not a sissy. That's just where he came from. Okay? St. Francis of Assisi. And he actually didn't use this phrase, but he said a phrase that is similar in his Rule of 1221. When he was speaking to a group of people who were leading churches, this is what he told them. He said, "No brother should preach contrary to the form of regulation of the Holy Church, nor unless he has been permitted by his minister. All the friars should preach by their deeds." So what St. Francis said is that we should not only represent God in our deeds, but that we should also share the good news of the gospel. Sometimes we think that our deeds should be enough, and certainly that's supposed to be a part of our lives as believers. If we don't live like believers, then it's going to be hard to point people in the right direction. But if we don't use our words either, how are they going to know how to follow Jesus? And so this is what we're going to be talking about today. And I know many of us, we get anxiety about this topic, about sharing the gospel. We sort of think, when that next evangelistic event comes around or that next conference, like, I will ask that person if they want to go, and then there they can hear the good news of the gospel. But Jesus did something very interesting in his interaction with people. He had very normal conversations. He had very normal meals. He went and he sat with people who needed to hear the good news. Whether it was over a meal or maybe in passing, a word that needed to be shared, he did that. Now we may think, well, that was Jesus, and he can share because he's the one who went to the cross for our sins. But God's given us a very specific purpose in this life, and as the identity of our church, we need to understand that it's kind of part of our job, too, to share the gospel as we go. And it doesn't have to be quite as awkward as I think we make it a lot of the time, okay? Maybe just the question, where do you go to church? Oh, you don't go? Wow, I've got a great church. I would love to invite you to come. And so maybe we just need to start practicing phrases like that. Or, do you believe in God? Oh, I can't ask people that. Like, that might upset somebody. Well, in a recent poll taken by Gallup, a popular polling place, 87% of people believe in God. Wow, that's great. So you could start things off, 80% chance that someone will say, I believe in God. All right? Do you believe in God? Yeah, there's a good likelihood they do. And so similar things like heaven and hell, most people believe in that as well. And so when we start to have these kind of conversations, they're not quite as difficult as I think we make them. And I think what Satan does, he whispers in our ear, don't say anything, because somebody, they might think you're silly. Somebody, well, that person likes you right now, and if you start talking about God and about church, then I don't know. I mean, what are they going to think about you, right? But God, he makes it a little simpler for us, and it's in the life and the ministry of Jesus that he gives us the best example. And so today, we'll be in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke was an apostle. He was a disciple of Jesus, and he writes this around 60 A.D., and we know he was a physician, and so he left his trade, and I like to think, along with the book of Acts that he wrote, he went along with Paul on his missionary journeys and was able to assist him there. And I like to think that as he was going around with the disciples, you know, there was always a kind of a key person in a certain area. Whenever somebody got a tummy ache, right, or they stubbed their toe, Luke, what do we need to do? Can you help us out? He was like, you know, the disciples' mom, right? So I don't know if anybody's ever said that before, but he was a physician. So he's able to help them along the way, but he also writes his own gospel as an account to help us understand what happened in the life and ministry of Jesus. And so just to set up the stage for chapter 19, as we're about to go into this in chapter 18, there's kind of this variety of interactions that take place. One is this parable about a widow who's so persistent that Jesus says, this is how we need to be in prayer. We need to be persistent in prayer. Sometimes we think, oh, God's not going to know. He's not going to answer us. And you know, if he doesn't answer me the first time, well, he's not going to the next time, right? Sometimes it takes years of prayer for things to be answered. And maybe it's not necessarily with the answer that you want, but he talks about prayer being persistent. We need to do this. And he talks about a Pharisee and a tax collector and how they both come to God in a certain way. And he says the way that you need to come is in humility. That's how we need to come to God. And he talks about children. This is my favorite. And he talks about children. He says, let the little children come to me. And unless you come like a child, then you're not going to receive the kingdom of heaven. And then he interacts with a rich young ruler, and you probably read this story before too, where the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and they have this interaction, and Jesus ultimately says, unless you can part with the thing that you're making an idol in your life, then you won't be able to follow me. And he chooses to walk away from Jesus. And then finally, he heals a blind man in chapter 18 on the way to Jericho. Jericho. Why does Jericho sound familiar? Well, because today in the quiet time, and I didn't plan it this way, by the way, there's been these really cool coincidences on Sunday mornings in the quiet time where Jericho pops up in Joshua. We just started reading Joshua again today, by the way. And Jesus walks into Jericho today in Luke chapter 19 after he heals a blind man and he meets a guy named Zacchaeus. And this is where we start today. And so the first fill in the blank is we look for opportunity. We look for opportunity, the simple things, right? We look for an opportunity, a passing interaction to share the good news of the gospel. And in verse 1, it says, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So if you don't know anything about tax collectors around that time, they were not people that would have been liked by most people, all right? So unless you were in like the elite of society, the tax collector would not be the person who would be your friend, right? He would knock on your door. He would say, you owe this much taxes. And it wouldn't be kind of like taxes as we think them, like normal. What is that, 10, 15, 20, 30% of what you make? No, he would say, I need half of what you own right now. And where it's going to be, you know, going into the service of the Roman Empire. But what they would really do is they'd keep a lot of it. And so as you go by their house, they have a giant house, lots of chariots with gold rims and you know, lots of horses, whatever they had. And so they would have a plethora of those things along with food and a lot of people that liked to be around them who were in the elite society of class. And so you wouldn't like this person, but there's a reason the scripture says he was a chief tax collector, right? So he was like the next level tax collector. He managed a bunch of tax collectors, and he was rich. And there's this correlation in the text in Luke, and he always focuses on these things because Jesus says a lot of things about having a lot of money or a lot of possessions, and a lot of the time it's really, really difficult to separate those or to follow Jesus and then have all these things that you spend your time and attention on. And he says he was rich. So is this going to be an issue for Zacchaeus? Well, we're going to find out. It was certainly an issue for the rich young ruler. And in verse 3 it says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. Well, why is this important? Well, because we find out Zacchaeus was going to have to go up in a tree. Some of you probably are already thinking of the song. I'm not going to sing the whole thing, but it starts like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. What did he do? He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see, right? I don't remember the rest of it. Maybe I do. I'm just not going to sing it, okay? So, but yeah, we remember those things as kids. We hear those songs, but they remind us about the truth of God's word. Why was it important? Well, because Zacchaeus had to climb up in a tree, and he had such a desire to see Jesus, he was willing to do that. And again, most people, if you were to ask him, just in our common conversations, because I think we overlook these things, right? We overlook people who need to hear the gospel, or we know, and we just sort of go, yeah, I know, I feel like God wants me to share with them, but I'm just not sure. When they're maybe your friend, your coworker, or somebody who you care about, maybe it's a family member, and you know they need to hear the gospel, and the Lord is pressing on your heart, but then you just say, well, maybe the next time, maybe the next time. And that person, who maybe even the Lord's bringing to your mind right now, is desperate for God. They have a need for God. The question is, are we going to share? Are we going to actually do that? It's another thing to think it or for the Spirit to press on our hearts, but to share, that's another level, right? So we need to look for those opportunities. Where are they? When we get scared and we feel anxious, or when Satan whispers in our ear, you don't need to share. We do, because that's how we continue what Jesus is doing. And here's the second point. We look for desire. So in talking about growing the church in invitation, some of these things we need to think about. We need to practice. We need to look for this opportunity. Then we need to look for desire. And it's really not hard, right? Sometimes we think nobody wants to hear about God. That's just the, you know, that's not, you know, it's not politically correct to talk about God right now, right? But if I had to guess, and just looking at research and things we've talked about, if 87% of people believe that there is a God, and what hurts with asking the question, do you believe in God? Maybe just a starter for some of these conversations that we can have. And I'll give you a few more. I love asking the question when I'm sitting with somebody talking, wherever it is, whatever setting, hey, at the end of the day, like, what fulfills you? People kind of look at me with that question, like, what are you talking about? What, you know, what fulfills me? Well, at the end of the day, like, what brings you joy? What brings you happiness, fulfillment? And I find that, you know, a lot of things come on that list, right? It's like, well, I like my job. Okay, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, I like my family. Okay, great. At the end of the day, though, if that, I mean, what happens if that's all you have? Does that really make you happy or really joyful? Like when you're laying your head down on your pillow at night and you think, this is all I have. Am I truly fulfilled in this? And most people, if you ask them that question, will say, well, I guess I'm not. So what else is there? Well, let me share that with you, right? So there are these questions we can ask. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? At the end of the day, what brings you true joy and contentment? I find that people who don't know Jesus, they have a hard time answering that question. And we can answer that question for them. But here's the important thing. You never know until you ask, right? That's the phrase we want to remember. If we don't ask, then we'll never know. And there are those people, whether or not it's a family member or a friend or a neighbor, until we ask that important question, we won't know, right? We won't know, do they believe in God? Do they? Have they ever heard the gospel? Have they ever been invited to a church? And that's part of the reason that we're here in this community, is to do those things. And so we look for a desire. And here's what it says in verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Now, by the way, if you go to the Holy Land, there's actually a tree. It has a big sign in front of it. It says it's the tree where Zacchaeus climbed up. I don't know if it's actually the tree, but it's at least it might be. And so I've not got the opportunity to go there, but I have seen it on the internet. Right? I did look it up. It does exist. And so Zacchaeus went up in this tree to see Jesus. And here's what he knew. Here's what he already had. He already had power. He already had position. He already had money, because it says he was rich in the text. But interestingly enough, that didn't fulfill him at the end of the day. When he knew Jesus was coming into town, into Jericho, the place that got leveled, by the way, by God's people in the Old Testament, when they came in and they were conquering the land for God. And now Jesus comes in, and what does he do? He's not breaking down a literal kingdom, but he's breaking down these barriers, right? Every time he interacts with somebody, we're going to see that there are going to be these group of religious elite who are going to question Jesus too. Why are you spending time with him? Why are you with Zacchaeus? Well, because he's breaking down these spiritual barriers. He's sharing the good news. And we can learn a few things from him. But I wonder, how desperate do we think people are? Think of yourself maybe before you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe you made that decision later in life. And as you compare those things between, here's when I didn't know Jesus, here's when I did. I always ask people, you know, when we're, you know, doing a little testimony sheet or filling those kind of things out, what's your testimony? I don't know. Well, to put it simply, who were you before you met Jesus? What happened when you met Jesus? What were the circumstances? And what has he done in your life since? But I can guess a lot of us, if we compared those things, we would probably go, I mean, yeah, my life was kind of empty. I mean, I pursued a lot of things, and I thought these things brought me maybe some happiness, but when I met Jesus, everything changed. And we know that's what happens for Zacchaeus. But I think we may believe that people really aren't truly desperate. Maybe we just sort of think, like, we're good with God, and everything's great. And if somebody wants to talk to me about God, I mean, they know I go to church, right? They know I go to First Baptist Elba, so they will ask me if they need to know something about God, but yet we're given these opportunities, and people have a desire. In fact, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this. We read it in the quiet time a few months ago. He has made everything beautiful in its time. This is chapter 3, verse 11. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Oh, wait a minute. The Bible just said that all people, whether or not they have put their faith and trust in Jesus, they have eternity in their hearts. That means there's some underlying pressure. There's some underlying deep root, deep message. They know, even if they've never heard the gospel before, they know they need something more. Well, so who's going to tell them? And maybe we think, well, you know, the Bible says that. That's fine and good. But has anybody else ever said that? Well, yeah. I'd encourage you to go look up Plato and Aristotle, if you like looking up ancient Greeks, philosophers. You may not like to read a lot of the things that they say, but if you look up specifically about the eternality of the soul, you'll find that secular philosophers like Plato and Aristotle reasoned that our souls have this knowledge of eternity. That if you were to ask someone a question like, do you believe there's something after you die? most people would say, yeah, yeah, I do. And then they may not know how to frame it, and they may have never heard the gospel before, and they don't know what it takes to get to heaven. But yet most people would say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in heaven and hell. And even ancient philosophers, who were not believers, by the way, said that somebody who doesn't know Jesus still has this deep longing inside of themselves to know him. But how will they know him if we don't share? Verse 5 and 6 says this, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Now, I know sometimes when we read this interaction, we also think, well, that was Jesus. I mean, he was going into Jericho. He knew. I mean, he knew Zacchaeus was going to be there. And, you know, that's not really fair. It seems that he has an upper hand in these kind of situations. Well, Jesus didn't call us to question whether or not he had an upper hand or whether or not he was already prepared, because he was God and he knew Zacchaeus would be there. But he's called us to be faithful and look for these opportunities and know that everyone, whether or not they have heard, they've read the Bible or gone to any church, have a desire to know God. And that's our opportunity to share. And sometimes there'll be other people who will be negative, who will maybe even question your motives. Why are you sharing with that person? Or why are you spending time with them? They're bad. They're sinners. Well, something interesting similarly happens in the text in verse 7. And when they saw it, they grumbled and said, he has gone to be the guest of a man of sinners. Now, what happened to Jesus when he was interacting with people? What did the religious elite, the Jewish people, what did they say about Jesus? When he was going around, he was meeting with people, sharing the good news, he said, oh, he's spending time with tax collectors and sinners. How dare he? We're not going to spend time with those people because we're better than that, right? But the truth is, we know we've all fallen short of God's glory. That's the good news of the gospel, right? That we are on an even playing field with everyone, right? And that's one of the first things we have to do, acknowledge that we are sinners in need of grace. And this is what the religious elite didn't get. This is what the Pharisees didn't get. They said, Jesus, Son of God, spending time with sinners. That's exactly why he came. And that's exactly what we should be doing as well. Do you spend time with anybody? Do you know anyone who doesn't know Jesus? That should be a part of our lives, right? That we would be coming in contact with people that have a desire to know God, and then we're like, oh, hey, we got an opportunity. I get to share with you because we already have a relationship, right? And so he gives us those opportunities. But don't focus on maybe those who would not have the best attitude. Know that our purpose, along with Jesus's, is to spend time with those who don't know him, right? Now, many of us, and to be honest, I'm kind of jealous. I always would tell this to teenagers, right? So Christy and I got to do student ministry for almost 10 years before we came here. And I was always telling our students, I'm like, you get to go to school every day. And they're like, I know. Maybe everybody's not going to school every day right now. I know. It's different for everybody. But you get to go places. You get to hang out with people. You have neighbors. You have relationships with people who are your age, your peers, right? And we all do. We all go to work. We go to the marketplace, wherever it might be. And God gives us those opportunities. He gives us friendships, people who don't know God, and who he gives us an opportunity because there's desire there on everyone's part to know God. And many times we will also say, well, you know, I'm not going to share because what if they say no, right? And that would just crush me. Well, luckily, that weight's not on us, right? That's just our job to share. Well, if it makes the situation awkward, and then how are we supposed to be friends again? Why don't we just worry about being faithful, right? I mean, why don't we just, like, if someone's going to be awkward around you or be upset that you talked about God, then, you know, maybe that's what they need. Maybe that's the push they need to think about the things of God. And so here's the last thing. We look for salvation. We look for salvation. So we look for that opportunity, a desire, and then we look for the salvation that God offers, right? That opportunity to actually share the gospel message. And here's what it says in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone anything, I restore it fourfold. Now here's the cool thing, and maybe you've had this opportunity. You've seen someone who had a desire to know God, and you actually shared the gospel with them, and salvation took hold. What normally takes place in people's lives, like we always think it's like, wow, that's the strangest thing. They started acting different. Right? I mean, that's what we should do, right? And that's a sign that God is doing a great work. Somebody, their heart changes, right? And that's exactly what happened for Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a chief of tax collectors, who specialized in taking things that did not belong to him. He said, If I have defrauded anyone, anything, I will restore it fourfold. I don't even know how you get into the math of that. How do you restore fourfold what you took from people? But yet he says, that's what I'm going to do because his heart was changed. Now we see a similar interaction between what we talked about before, the rich young ruler and Jesus. And he said, when Jesus said, you need to sell all you have. And he said, I can't. And he walked away sad. But yet for Zacchaeus, the opportunity that he has, the desire that he had to know Jesus, and when Jesus took that time to sit down with him and say, hey, I'm coming to your house today. Which, by the way, I don't know how you have these interactions with people. Maybe don't invite yourself to somebody's house. But Jesus could do that, right? But maybe we do. Maybe it's just like, you know, how do I get into those situations? Maybe you invite someone over for a meal. Maybe it's like right now, you know, you do the outdoor barbecue and it's getting a little chilly, right? But maybe we can still do that. And so you got to think of those things. How do I even create those opportunities? Jesus went to his house and his life was changed immediately. And that's the joy. I mean, I always love that. It's like, you know, when you're doing ministry, I do get to interact with people on a regular basis, people that don't know Jesus, but I don't really feel like I do as much as you guys do, right? So it's like I'm always jealous. You know, that's the thing that I'm saying. I'm like, I wish I got to go to the places that you did. I wish I got to talk to the people that you did, because, man, I would love to have that opportunity, but the opportunity has been given to you. And we each have those, right? We've had the opportunity. People have a desire. That's not in question. Whether or not the Bible tells us, whether or not secular philosophers have told us that everyone has a desire to know God, whether or not they've said it with their mouth. In verse 9 and 10, Jesus sums this up for us, and it's really kind of points us in, you know, our purpose and our mission as well of what he did. It says in verse 9, and he said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So God's given this continuation of his ministry to us. So he doesn't just say, I came, I'm going to do these things. He's actually given us purpose as well. And if you remember from last week, we looked in Mark and we saw that Jesus made a similar statement, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to lay his life down as a ransom for many. And if you look in the Gospels, Jesus makes a lot of these statements. And here he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And we think, well, is that really our mission? Is that really our purpose too, to tell people about what Jesus has done for them? Yeah, it is. It's found in a little place called the Great Commission. At the end of Jesus' ministry, he says this, and you can probably quote it by heart, go and make disciples. It's found in Matthew 28:19. What do? We go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what does Jesus remind us of? He says, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. Right? He's always with us, and he's giving us opportunity, isn't he? In those places that we go, the things that we do, everybody has a desire to know God, whether or not they've said it with their mouth. We need to look for the salvation opportunity, the opportunity to actually share the specific good news of the gospel. Well, what is it that we acknowledge? That we're sinners, right? It's as easy as ABC. We admit that we're sinners. We believe that Jesus Christ came, that he died on the cross for our sins. We've got a, you know, really cool, amazing new cross back here. That's a reminder for us. And by the way, Jesus is not on it, because we believe that he died. He raised from the dead on that third day, and he conquered sin and death. And he had a message for the disciples before he left: go and make more disciples. And that's our purpose. And the last thing we do is we acknowledge it with our mouth, right? We say something. And for anyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, this is a part of it: confessing with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. Now, maybe we look for those significant events in our families, and those that are maybe most close to us, friends, and we rejoice in that, and that's good and that's right. But where are all those opportunities? Maybe we just need to pray about those things, right? It's like, you know, when you get up in the morning, God, would you give me an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel? And that's a scary prayer, right? Because we're like, sometimes I don't want to do that. Right? I don't want to ask God, because what happens if he gives me an opportunity? Well, what are you going to do? You already know people have a desire. We need to look for that salvation that they need, the good news that we can share. So we know what the gospel is, and I'll close with this, because I love to celebrate things and decisions that people make. I did ask Alana if this was okay, by the way, okay? She turned 4 on September 22nd, And a week later, on September 29th, we were doing our normal, you know, Bible study. We were reading through before we were about to go to bed, and had her children's Bible, and she loves the Ascension. She loves the Great Commission and Ascension story. I don't know why, because it's awesome, maybe, right? And so when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, he's talking to the disciples, and he says those exact words, and we read those words together, and then I reminded Alana, I say this every time, and Jesus, he's coming back for us. He's coming back for his people. And she looked at me and asked this. She goes, who's God's people? I said, well, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. And I did not prompt this. And I'm working so long, you know, with student ministry. I'm always kind of hesitant, you know, when I share the gospel. I want to make sure people believe. And she looked at me and she goes, Dad, I want to make that decision. I said, I was like, oh, wow, I don't even know what to say, right? They'd taken off guard. And so Christy and I sat with her, and we prayed through that, just the plan of salvation. And we said, today you have believed in Jesus, what he's done for you. You've said with your mouth that he is the Lord of your life. And she's already asking about baptism and all those kind of things. And so I know we're going to have more conversations about that. But the question is, well, who is the greatest? Those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus. And the disciples in Matthew chapter 18, they asked this question in verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, I truly say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I think many times we think that, well, unless we've put our faith and trust in Jesus at a young age, unless we've made this decision, then nobody will make that decision. Maybe you have a coworker you've, Lord's put on your heart. You think, well, I don't know if they will. But Jesus tells his disciples, unless anybody else comes to me like a child, and it's not about becoming a child again, literally. It's just about coming to God in humility. And here's the deal. We have opportunities, right? We should be looking for those. We know that everyone has a desire, from the young to the old. And Jesus said, if somebody would come to me, if they would humble themselves like a child and just believe wholeheartedly, that is what merits salvation, belief and confession. And so I know we're super excited about the decision that Alana made, and hopefully we will do baptism soon for her. But maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision. What's what we've already said, you admit that you're a sinner, you believe that Jesus Christ came. This is what we believe. This is the identity of our church. It's like one of the most important things. We believe in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. He died, he shed his blood, and that's the only thing that puts us in right standing before God. And we confess with our mouth that he's the Lord of our lives. And the scripture tells us that that is what merits salvation. That's what God gives to us. And he gives it to anyone else who would humble themselves like a child and put their faith and trust in him. So let me pray for us, and then we'll close. Father, we thank you for the word, for the opportunity to hear that, God, you have really some simple things that you did through your son Jesus, that we can come to you like a child, God. I pray that you'd help us to pray each day for those opportunities that we will have. And God, we know this is not about growing our church in number, God. It's about seeing people get saved. It's about seeing people come to know you, because, God, you've already told us and you've shown us in the world that everyone has a desire to know you, whether or not they've said it with their mouth. God, I pray you'd help us to look for the opportunity, the desire, and then that chance to share the message of salvation with whoever we might come in contact with. And I pray that even right now, that you would be putting those people on our hearts and our minds that we need to share the good news with. God, the question for us is, if we never share, how will we know if anyone will ever believe in the good news that you've given? You want to use us. We know that. I pray you'd help us to walk faithfully in that. And it's your name we pray. Amen. Well, love you, church family. Hope you have a good Sunday. As a reminder, if you are a member, we would love for you to stay. Hang out for a few minutes. We will start our business meeting in roughly 5 minutes, okay? So if you need to grab a drink or something, come back in. We'll hand out our business meeting packets, and we will head into that.